If you have your Bible with you, turn to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. I just have a quick word of encouragement for you. This day we live in is a troubled day. We all are going through hardship and troubles and trials. And it seems like the freedom that we celebrate here in America, the freedom that's been fought for and lives have been given, is under attack more and more every day. You know, our Congress is supposed to be voting here real soon on what they call a marriage and what a marriage is. And an attack like that is something that we need to take a stand for. And those freedoms that we have to stand up and proclaim God's Word, to go out and proclaim the truth of God's Word, they're under attack more and more every day. The generation that's coming up behind even my generation, these kids sitting here today, they're going to face trials and troubles against the freedom that we have here in America that we've never seen and never faced in our country's history. And so we need to make sure that we're taking a stand. But you know what? We can draw encouragement from God's Word. We can get strength for tomorrow from God's Word. You know, the people in Alaska, I shared with you, they're taking their own lives. They're turning to drugs and alcohol because they have no hope for tomorrow. Where do we get our hope? We get our hope and strength in God's Word. And so in this day that we live, in the troubles and trials that we're all going through, we know that we can turn to God's Word and get encouragement, get strength, get a reason to get out of bed the next day. Because you know what? As a saved believer, as someone who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you know what you have to look forward to. And that's a home in heaven. No matter how bad this day is, no matter how bad of a day you have here on earth, you know that one day you have heaven to look forward to. That this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And we know that God is preparing a place for us that our mind can't even comprehend. The splendors and wonders of it. It gives us encouragement to know that Christ gave the promise, I will come again. And as the pastor said this morning, we're closer today than we've ever been in history of Christ's return. It could happen any minute. Prophecies are happening. They're being fulfilled. God, that trumpet could sound at any moment. Are we living the lives we should? We'll see, you know. We'll see. But you know what? We can draw encouragement from God's Word. Here, Psalm 142, this is a psalm David wrote when he was hiding in a cave. And David is probably one of my favorite Bible characters. He was a man after God's own heart, the Bible tells us. The life that David lived, we can glean so much from it. He was a man after God's own heart, but look at all the troubles and hardships and trials that he went through. Well, look at our lives. All the trials and hardships and tough things that we deal with. Do we see ourselves in David's life? You know, David, when he was we think of David's life as a boy tending sheep. He tells that we can read that a bear and a lion came and took a sheep from the flock. And David went after him. You know, if it was me and I was a child watching the sheep, I probably would have saw that bear and saw the lion and I've been like, well, Dad, here's what happened, and they're gone. You know, I probably would have just, well, there they go, you know, I don't know. I don't know, but David, as a young man, he went after him, and the Bible says that he grabbed the bear by the beard and smote that bear and rescued the sheep. And he did the same with the lion. He killed a bear and a lion. Now, we're in Iowa, and Iowa's known for wrestling, but I don't know about that. That's some rough stuff to be able to wrestle a bear and a lion. But then David, you know what? Later on, he was standing before the armies of Israel. And he saw that giant Goliath. And that giant was cursing the God of Israel. He was cursing the children of Israel. And the Israeli army, they were cowering in front of Goliath. They were fearful of him, running from him. They were afraid of him. And David, this lad, he comes before the army of Israel and he looks at him and he says, is there not a cause? He took a stand. And what happened? We know the story. We all loved it as children. And we should draw encouragement and strength from it today. He took that sling and five smooth stones, and he walked out there boldly before this great man of war. And he slew Goliath. And I love the Bible and God's Word and how accurate it is, and it's wonderful. And God doesn't ever, He doesn't put anything in there that He doesn't want us to know. And it actually says that when he slayed Goliath, he took Goliath's own sword and cut his own head off. He cut Goliath's head off. I just, you know, that's just the guy in me, I guess. I don't know. I just got to love that Bible story. It's just, that's strength. You know, that's what that is. But that gave David courage. It gave him faith. It encouraged him in times of trial. Well, then, later on, the king of Israel is trying to slay David. And David runs for his life. And he's hiding in the caves. And that's when he wrote this psalm. Psalm 142 and verse 1, it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, excuse me, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. How wonderful those words that David wrote. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll look into this psalm tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much for this day of life. Lord, I thank You for the freedom we have here in America to boldly proclaim Your truth, to gather together and sing praises unto You. Lord, we thank You for the lives that have been given and are being given for that freedom that we celebrate today. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word and how it guides us and directs us and encourages us and chastens us and draws us close to You. Lord, we thank You for how wonderful You are to us, even though we fail You. Lord, I thank You personally for Your grace and Your mercy, how it's new every day. Lord, I pray tonight that You speak to my heart. Draw me closer to Your throne. Encourage me tonight, Lord, for I need Your help. Lord, I pray You hold my tongue where I shouldn't speak. Fill my mouth with Your Word. Speak to us all tonight. Allow us to see a glimpse of Your glory. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone in here tonight that does not know You as their Savior, they get that settled before they walk out these doors. And those of us that do know You, that know that we have a home in heaven, encourage us. Convict us of sin that we're harboring. Allow us to do business with You tonight and to walk out these doors better Christians, more on fire for You than when we walked in. In Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen. So David here, he's in this cave and he's hiding from Saul and the armies of Israel that are out there hunting him down, trying to kill him. It doesn't sound like a very good place to be, does it? I mean, it doesn't sound like a place that I would want to be. I wouldn't want to be know that someone's out there hunting me, trying to kill me. It just doesn't sound like a lot of fun. So David here, he's hiding in this cave, and he's at a low point in his life. You know, 1 Samuel 22 is a cross-reference for this psalm. 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2, it says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. When his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. There were with him about 400 men. So David kind of became the leader of everyone that was in distress, in debt, or discontented. So do you think he had a lot of encouragement around him? It doesn't sound like it. Sounds like he was at a low point in his life. So here David, he is alone in a crowd. He's alone in a crowd. And first of all, in verses 1 through 3, we see his plea. Verse 1, it says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice did I make my supplication." He's crying unto the Lord. He's saying, "God, help me." You know, he's reached that point in his life. He's at his wit's end. He's so low that the only other place he can do is, the only thing he can do is turn to God and say, "God, help." How many of us have been there? We've been in a problem or a situation where we've tried to work it out on our own. We've tried to do things our own way. And what happens? It just gets worse and worse and worse. And then eventually we just fall down before God. And we say, "God, help. God, I need you. Help me." We make our supplications known unto the Lord. Verse 2, it says, "I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me." You see, he had reached that wit's end. He'd reached that lowest point in his life. He turned to God and said, "God, I'm trusting You completely with this. I'm tired of carrying it. I'm tired of worrying about it. I'm tired of being burdened down with it. I don't know where else to go. I'm going to trust You." And you know what? That's what God wants us to do in the beginning. When trouble and hardship comes into our life, when the bills come in and then we go to work the next day and we get this lovely yellow letter from our boss that says we've been laid off. And we go, "Well, how's that going to work?" We're to turn to God right away. When we're driving down the road and we start hearing a loud engine noise and we take it in and they say, "There's no fixing it," or "Here's the bill," we say, "Well, how's that going to work?" We turn to God right away. You see, God cares about us. He wants us to turn to Him and trust Him. By faith, trust Him. You know what faith is? Faith is another one of those words that's lost meaning in our society today. We've thrown it around in Christian groups and in Baptist circles. We've thrown around the word so much that it's become so watered down, or we've added to it even, of what faith is. Faith is trusting something or someone to do what it was created to do. That's faith. You came in tonight. You drove here, some of you. Some of you rode in a car. I don't think anybody walked. Maybe not. Well, we did, yeah. Listen to that. Okay, but most of us came in a car tonight. You got in your car, you stuck the key in the ignition, and you expected what to happen? It to start. Have you ever gotten to a car, put the key in the ignition, and it didn't? Your faith in that car failed. It didn't do what it was created to do. And then when you came into church tonight, it's time for the service to begin, you came in, you sat down in your chair. I didn't see anybody jiggling the chair or checking the welds on it or anything like that. You know, I'm a big guy. I've sat in some chairs before that my faith failed. I had to pick myself up off the floor. And you know what? Now when I see that type of chair, I check them out because my faith has failed in those chairs. But you know what? Each and every one of you, you came in tonight and you trusted that chair to do what it was created to do. Hold you up. Keep you from falling on the floor. You trusted it. That's faith. You put your faith in a car. You put your faith in a chair. How many other things have you put your faith in? If you have an ink pen out right now, you're trusting an ink pen to do what it was created to do. And that's right. Okay? That's faith. So God says that salvation is by faith. We're supposed to trust Him with our problems and our prayers by faith. So what's that mean? That means we're trusting Him to do what He says. To do what He was created to do. Jesus Christ, we're to put our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation because Jesus Christ was born to be the perfect sacrifice. We're trusting Him to do what He was created to do. That's how simple faith is. And God created this world. God created with a word. He spoke this world into existence. Don't you think He's worthy of your faith? Don't you think He's worthy of trusting Him to do those things? To take care of the problems that you have? Why do we hesitate so much to turn our problems over to God then? It's our flesh. It's pride. We need to come to that wit's end before we ever turn it over to God. David here had reached his wit's end. Where is your wit's end with the problems that you're going through? I was talking with, I won't call it counseling because he's my age, but I was talking with a guy the other day, and we were discussing his lifestyle. And he actually said, he looked me in the face and he said, "I know it's against God and it's against the Bible, but I'm not ready to give it up." How sad that is. How sad of a situation that is, that he knows that if he was to die at that moment, he's living in sin. But he hasn't reached his wit's end in the problem. He hasn't reached that point where he turns it over to God and says, "God, forgive me." In our situations, I don't know anybody in here except for my wife and child. But you have problems you're dealing with. You have struggles you're going through. Are you still bearing it on your own? Or are you turning it over to God? Have you given it to God and said, "God, I'm going to trust You for it completely. Totally trust You for the problem." Have you pleaded with God and said, "God, please, help me." David here, he's pleading with God. He says, "God, I have nowhere else to turn." In verse 4, it says, we see his plight, David's plight, his problem. It says, "I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." You see, he was with a crowd of 400 people. And he said, "None of them care about me. I'm alone in this crowd." Here we're in a church tonight. This is Open Door Baptist Church. Sorry, I forgot what name it was. You're rubbing it, it's, I don't know, you forget names, I forget names, whatever. But we're here at Open Door Baptist Church tonight. And you know what? Are you alone tonight? Are you sitting there going through your mind saying, "There's no one here that cares about me"? I hope not. It seems to me that you have a very caring and loving church family. That you lift up each other's problems and hardships and trials. But are you sitting there tonight with a problem and you're wondering, "How am I going to deal with this? I don't have anybody I can turn to"? I hope you know of someone in here that you can turn to. I know of one person. That person's Jesus Christ. Even though you're here, you're part of the church family, you say, "I don't want to share my problem with some people. It's embarrassing. I'm ashamed of it." You know, the one that knows it and the one that cares and can help you through it is Jesus Christ Himself. You might be alone in a crowd, but Christ still cares. Job, when everything was taken from him, his wife even said, his own helpmeet turned to him and said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" That was a pretty low point in his life. His friend said, "Why don't you just give up? Just give up." And Job still said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." In all things, the Bible says he charged not God foolishly. You see, in our lives, we go through problems and trials. Let's be quick to give it to God and not charge God foolishly. Because God cares for us. We see David's plea, his plight. And then verses 5 through 7, we see his position. Verse 5, it said, "I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me." You see, if you want God's blessing in a time of trial, we have to be quick to give it to God. If you want God's blessing in the problems you're dealing with, give it to God. Trust Him. God is our refuge. God is our strength in times of trouble. God will bless if we just turn it over to Him. If we trust Him completely. Put our faith in Him. We put our faith in so many things of this world that fail us. We put it in mechanical things. We put it in our government. We put it in leaders. We put it in family members, friends. And you know what? All of those things will fail us. But there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. There's one that loves you so much that He wants you to bring your burdens and problems to Him. He wants to bless your lives. That's Jesus Christ. That's the God that created this universe. No problem is too small. No worry is too insignificant for God. David here, alone in a crowd, fleeing for his life, he realized where true strength comes from. He realized where encouragement can be found. And that's at the feet of Jesus. That's at the feet of our Heavenly Father. So why not turn to Him? Like I said, I don't know your problems. I don't know your struggles. But I guarantee everyone in here has something. I'm not alone in that. I have problems and worries and struggles in my life. I'm no different. I'm nobody special. But we have to be quick to turn it over to God. And it all starts with knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, we're born sinners. If you don't believe me, I'll give you my kids for a little while and you can just watch them. Nobody ever teaches a child to tell a lie. I've never met a parent that says, here's how you be a selfish, ornery child. Here's how you tell a really good lie, Johnny. I don't know anybody that teaches their kids that. No, we teach them. And if you know of somebody like that, smack them. Because it ain't right. But we teach our children to share. To be nice. Tell the truth. Why? Because sinful nature is already in us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Means we all deserve to die and be separated from God for eternity. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid that sin debt. And all we have to do is personally pray. You have to make the decision in your life that I need Jesus Christ. I can't get saved for you. I can pray for you and pray that you'll see the truth of salvation. But I can't get saved for you. I can't give enough money to the church to buy your way out of hell. I can't do anything like that. It has to be your decision. The Bible says that salvation is by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. No matter how good of a life you think you live, you're still going to die and go to hell if you don't trust Jesus Christ. And after you've trusted Christ as your Savior, are you doing what's right? Are you living for Him? Or are you carrying around your own burdens and problems and saying, well, I don't want to bother God. Or, I've accepted Christ, but I'm not being a witness for Him. Or, I don't read my Bible. Yeah, I go to church. I go through the motions. But outside of church, I'm a totally different person. Let's stop being white and sepulchre is filled with dead men's bones. Let's get serious about serving God. You want our nation and our country and the world changed for God? It has to start with you. It has to start with us getting serious about serving the Lord. Because you know what? You're going to have to stand before God and give an account for your life one day. Are you going to have to give an account for a lot of things? Or do you keep that account short? I hope you're serving the Lord. I hope you're doing what's right. I hope you know Him as your personal Savior. Make sure you have that settled first of all. And then whatever struggles or trials you're going through, be quick to turn it over to God. Be quick to trust Him. And then have patience to wait on God to answer those prayers. Because our God is a prayer-answering God. Let's have faith and trust Him. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around, please. I just have a couple questions real quick. I believe wholeheartedly that our God is a prayer-answering God. And so I just want to pray for you. If you're here tonight and you say, I don't know for sure. I don't know that I have a home in heaven. I don't know that if I was to die right now, if I would wake up in heaven or hell. If you're here tonight and you're like that, if you could just raise up your hand. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to drag you out of your seat. I'm not going to pull you up here to the front. I just want to pray for you. And pray that you can get it settled. No one else is looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. If you're here tonight and you say, I am saved, but I'm not living for God. I am saved, but I'm going through troubles and trials that I need to lay at God's feet. I need His help and strength to overcome. If you're here tonight and you're like that, I want to pray for you too. You just slip up your hand and say, I need God's help. See those hands? Just want to pray. Amen. I see those hands. We're going to have a word of prayer and then we'll ask someone to come and play a tune of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for this day of life. We thank You for how You take care of us and how You provide. Lord, I pray that for those hands that were raised, I pray that You give them strength where it's needed. Bless in their times of trouble and trials. Give encouragement where it's needed. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that didn't raise their hand for salvation, Lord, I pray that they get it settled. I pray they get serious about it. Lord, I pray You allow them not to get any sleep tonight or rest till they know for sure they have a home in heaven. Lord, we pray for this time of invitation, Lord, that we can do business with You. We can trust You. Lord, we pray You just bless and guide and direct. In Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen.